I definitely think that of the non-Texans thing, Seth, that intrigued me going into training camp, and this isn't even a total non-Texan thing because this guy's going to be in their division for the next several years. Watching the Travis Hunter both sides of the ball thing and how that gets handled, both in terms of the workload and the reps in training camp, and then obviously how it gets executed in the regular season. You know, is there one side of the ball they lean to more than another? Is it just they're going to do what Colorado did and just play him on both sides? I am super intrigued by it, especially because the GM, and to a different extent the head coach, but the GM, Gladstone, the magical Gladstone, has touted Travis Hunter as this revolutionary force that's going to somehow change the game of football.
Yeah, the GM, I much appreciate that D'Amico's approach to C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson in their rookie years was in the press conference right from the very beginning, him saying, hey, my job is to take pressure off these guys. There's already a lot of natural pressure from A, the player himself. Yeah. If they're the right kind of guy, they're trying to live up to expectations. B, the outside world has expectations. So his job as a coach is to maybe just, hey, throttle it back a little bit. You're playing football. Let's not make this more than it is.
Yep.
Gladstone comes out and in front of Travis Hunter promises the greatest show the world has ever seen. And talking about him as a guy, he's talking about him as a guy who maybe had already played in the NFL or something because of how he defies expectations. Yeah. I think the organization, the way the Jaguars have operated, the way they treated OTAs, is that they plan on him playing a boatload of snaps on both sides of the ball right off the bat, which is an interesting and bold strategy. But, man, that puts a whole on a guy who's a tinier guy, by the way, who's going to be learning how to play NFL football. The one thing you can't do in the NFL as a defensive back is kind of cruise when you're in zone coverage, and especially when you're playing zone versus a college kid who might not have he's going to throw the ball to the first read and is just not probably going to challenge you all that much. It's a whole lot different when you're being asked to play man versus Nico Collins,
dude,
you know, and then go back and then go play offense immediately afterwards.
Yeah, go play off. I mean, yeah, think about. Especially, like, I think of Nico. Thinking about chasing Nico around on the scramble drill when CJ starts rolling out. And Nico has this greatest knack of finding the exact spot he needs to be when the play breaks down. And you're Travis Hunter in a blender trying to keep up with him.
It is 100%. Like, without taking anything away from what Shohei Ohtani has been able to accomplish, physically, it's monumentally harder, I think. I think Travis Hunter got some crap for saying that it was harder what he was doing than Shohei or something. I tend to agree with him.
Yeah.
Just physically, it's more grueling.
Yep.
I understand the challenges of the Shohei Ohtani. That's physically grueling as well. And he's already, you know, broken down. Tommy John's no big deal anymore. But, you know, we'll see how long it lasts. With Travis Hunter, I'd have to go back and look and see the last time a guy played average more than 100 snaps a game in the NFL, because I'm guessing it was in the 1960s or so, whenever they got rid of, whenever they started platooning players.
That's right.
But maybe in the 1940s.
Here was Travis Kelce, Kansas City tight end. He was
on average more than 100 snaps.
Yeah.
Guys that have done it more than,
Travis Kelce was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. And they got talking about Travis Hunter. Here's what Travis Kelce thinks that NFL teams are going to do to try to wear Travis Hunter out.
Teams are going to be going after him.
Right. And you
like they're going to try and make his day. Yeah, they're going to try and make his day miserable.
Right. And he's got to go play wide receiver and then turn around and basically be like high school where you just stand on the field the whole time.
Yeah.
And just wait for the game to be over.
Dude, if he plays corner, they're going to run deep balls at him all day. They're going to run the wide receivers just take off on him all day just to try and get him tired.
Yeah.
I'm like, why wouldn't you just attack him that way?
So, I mean, they're basically what he's saying there. It sounds like to me, Seth, like make him run wind sprints.
No, it is. And it's true. That's one of the worst things about playing cornerback is in the NFL is that, Nico Collins comes out, runs a go route, then he goes and takes a blow on the sideline while a fresh legged dude comes in and runs a go route.
Yep.
Yeah. Like it sucks. They have to keep going and going and going. But then those defensive backs, 100% of them get to go take a blow on the sideline after that series is over.
He's got to go
Travis
play
Hunter's
wide receiver.
Travis Hunter's going to be over on the off. Not to mention, and at the same time, and this is a difference too between Shohei Ohtani and an NFL player. So normally a defensive back, if you're having some troubles early in the game, what do you do when you go to the sideline? You're looking at the iPad. You're talking about adjustments and everything. Nope, not for your rookie cornerback. He's going to be playing offense. Well, you're also trying to fix what's going on defense.
Yep.
And I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't think people really appreciate how difficult this is going to be for him if the Jaguars choose to handle it like that. The other part, too, is you could either run go routes, or if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm watching and I'm going to see how they're playing. And if the Jags are playing a bunch of man, crossing routes all day long.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Patriots did to the Falcons. And why they were able to come back in the Super Bowl is the Falcons were playing really aggressively on defense and manning everybody up. So the Patriots just ran all over the field horizontally the first three quarters, and the defensive backs were gassed by the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just get them running. It's the same as when a good outside zone running team clicks in the fourth quarter. A lot of times it's because the front seven defensive players have had to run sideline to sideline the whole game and their legs are just gassed by the fourth quarter.
It's an interesting point. Yeah, that the crossers, and combining that with what Kelsey was just saying, Kelsey sounds like he's talking about go routes and deep routes. Yeah. But it's running.
I like the crossers, just getting them running regardless.
Yeah, getting them running.
If you go out and do nothing but go routes, you could be limiting yourself offensively too. But just, get them running as much as possible.
And that's the thing for me with Travis Hunter, Seth. And is he going to make it playing both ways? Is he going to be able to do this? I err more towards the side of what you brought up earlier, just he's not a big dude. He's a few hits away from maybe having the will to do that taken out of him in the NFL on one side of the ball. It had never dawned on me about what you're talking about with the crossers and what Kelsey's talking about. The cardio part of it never dawned on me as the thing that would ultimately do him in. I always thought it would be the head-to-toe physical toll of the blunt force trauma part of it more so. But now it's going to be both.
Dude, I was a hustle guy, but when I was in high school, that's how I made my living. I was a hustle guy in the NFL and in college.
Yep.
In high school, when I played every single snap of a football game, including special teams, I was on the field the entire 48 minutes of a football game.
Yeah.
There's times where you physiologically, you kind of cruise a little
bit.
Like, you can't play with the same level of tenacity that you can when you're platooning.
Yeah.
And that's the part I wonder about with him. Yes, is he more capable of doing it than other people? Sure, probably. But I don't know if it's possible to play at that high level on both sides of the ball over 100 snaps per game. And the mental side, and not to mention the mental side of it.
Yeah. Are you as intrigued by this as I am in terms of a topic going in, of something to watch non-Texans going into the season, this thing with Travis Hunter?
I'm
engrossed by it. I think it's going to be really interesting.
If he pulls it up, and everything I'm saying right now, I will be 100% transparent about it. If he pulls it off and does it, then everything I'm saying right now is proof of just how impressive it will be.
Correct.
Because there's so many barriers to it, and there's reasons why nobody else has ever done it before.
Yeah.
But I'm just fascinated by the fact that the Jaguars seem to think the ones that they're the smart ones. Remember, the old rule, if you're trying to do something that nobody else does, you're either a genius or you're an idiot. And the odds are right now that the Jaguars are being idiots.
Well, their history would tell us that they're idiots. So,
Daryl Morey did a bunch of things that nobody else was doing. And you know what? I mean, it didn't ultimately work out, but he was a genius in that regard.
Yep.
Bill O'Brien tried to do a lot of things that conventional wisdom said were stupid. You know what? Yeah, it was stupid. It was really, really dumb.
It was dumb.
As a GM. Fine as a head coach.
Yep.
GM, that's what I'm talking about.
All right, the other thing I teased into this segment, I think it works in the petty cast. So I'm going to carry it over to that. We got a pretty good petty cast. Here we got a very baseball centric, now that basketball season is over, we've got a good petty cast for you. We get petty every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Text in your 713-572-4610. The pettiest things we've been hearing all week long, we will get to coming up next.